Good morning and happy Sabbath, everybody. I hope everybody stayed warm as much as they could this week, given it was cold. Two sidebar questions, so don't hold the time against me. One, I know that there's a lot going on in the world right now, especially in the Ukraine, and we have family members there, spiritually and physically. So do remember them as war ravages, you know, in this particular part of the world. Second of all, I did want to say thank you to the accompaniment. For so many years, we had CDs, and it's nice to have the live music to give praise to God. So I do want to say thank you to those who participate. About 2 months ago, I had the opportunity to give a sermonette, and it surrounded a term called caring, a term that's pretty much, well, when people think about the word, it doesn't make a big amount of hoopla. And as we found out by going through that word, the synonyms that go around it, we come to understand that the word means attention, mindfulness, and focus. And given that we're headed into the Passover season, I've been focusing more and more on where is my mindfulness and where is our Father's mindfulness? What is his focus on human beings and those who he calls out of this world? It led me on some continued mullings and meditation, and during that time I came across a sermon from Mr. Bob Dick, and his sermon was on what is God's attitude. And with a parenthetical phrase at the end, what is God's attitude towards human beings and all mankind? That sent me down a track and started making myself ask me a question personally and introspectively. What is my attitude towards my Creator, towards my God? What is my thought process? Am I ambivalent or am I convicted? In my mind and in my heart, there are different people in the Bible that convey and connote those two ends of that particular set of questions. Ambivalence in the Old Testament with Israel, and in the New Testament with Laodicea, and the conviction that was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ on what his mind was, and what his will was to do, and what his attitude was towards his Creator. So I'd ask you to think about this in terms of what is your attitude towards God? What is your attitude? And when you think each day, what is your focus? Are we thankful? Are we grateful? Are we appreciative of our calling out of this world? Do we possess the exactness and the attention and the focus to create and continue that commitment that he has towards us back towards him? Or do we live in a world of ambivalence? It's a good question. It's one that I've really tried to focus on quite heavily on myself, given Passover is coming. So I thought I'd ask you to come with me to Isaiah 29. Because in Isaiah 29, it's a very simple question, a very simple conversation that is happening through Isaiah to his people on what it is and how it is they've responded to his calling. They were given so many gifts. When God judged the gods of Egypt, and he did judge those gods, what was their response to him? Was it what he asked of them at Mount Sinai, which is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. There is no ambivalence in that particular request. None at all. And the people said, and I'll tell you, I looked this up, in the Old Testament, they said they would follow him 12 times. We will do as you ask. In Isaiah 29:13, though, God convicts the people, and he convicts them quite directly. And he says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they've removed their heart far from me. So I had to look into my heart and say, am I professing him in public? Am I praying with ambivalence? Or is it with the conviction of his spirit, by the loving kindness he's shown me, that I give that back to him? It's that mindfulness that we need to have as a people, that we not take on that mind that Israel had. I've said this before, Israel treated God like a sugar daddy. When they needed it, they prayed to him. When they didn't need him, oh well, no big deal. We got all these other gods we can pray to. They didn't stay convicted when he said, there is one God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. You will have no other gods before me. It takes conviction of heart to follow. When Israel consistently went down the path of wanting to be like the other people of the world, we sometimes can do that ourselves. They went to Samuel and said something to him. They convicted themselves on where their heart truly was. Come with me to 1 Samuel 8:7, and we'll show that. Something I went over the girls a bunch of times as the girls have grown up, about how important it is that our mind stays focused on our King, that he has to be the director and guider of our strategies in life, our directions, our hopes, and our dreams. Israel did not have a faithful heart. Their heart was not convicted. It was ambivalent. And we find that as such in 1 Samuel 8:7, where the Lord said to Samuel, because the people had asked for a king, heed the voice of the people and do what they say, for they have not rejected you. And he was a judge of the people, but they have rejected me, that I would not reign over them. Each one of us has a king. He's coming back one day when the Father sends him back. And are we looking forward to that day with ambivalence? Well, you know, tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow it'll be more important for me to be focused. Tomorrow comes very quickly. Or are we convicted to follow him? Is our will the same as Jesus Christ? Come with me to Hebrews 10:7, if you wouldn't mind. Because Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our salvation, he came to do his Father's will. Very short sentence. Hebrews 10, verse 7. He said, then I said, behold, I have come. The volume of this book is written of me to do your will. For I have come to do your will. In John 6:38, he says something very close. You can just write that down, but please do look it up for yourself. John 6:38. For I have come down to heaven from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the Father's will. That has to be our mantra. That has to be our goal. That has to be our focus and our mindfulness on a daily basis. Getting down on our knees and praying, what can I do to bring you glory today, Father? We have to be singularly focused and recognize that our will must be to do his. It's important that we have that to the end of our lives. So I cast myself a series of questions. Two main ones. Am I careful and am I exacting to follow his law based on love, just as Jesus Christ did? And am I convicted to have an attitude to love the Lord and his principles, be thankful for his grace? Or am I become ambivalent in the long road of my life towards the kingdom? What is my will? What is my desire? Do I have the same heart that Jesus Christ had towards the Father? You know, God's desires for us, as we've been blessed to see, is amazing. His attitude towards us of grace, when he pronounced the name of the Lord in Exodus, he says, merciful, long-suffering, and gracious towards us. Sometimes We can take that and run with it. We might find a place where we have a sin in our lives and say, I'm working on it. As opposed to looking into our hearts and looking into our minds and recognizing my attitude's not right. Our attitude must be the same as his. It must be to love towards all people. So I would ask, I would leave you with four points that if you get nothing else out of this sermonette, 4 points about keeping a good attitude with God. Stay prayerful. Sighing and crying with the Lord on a daily basis, because you cannot have enemies out there if you're praying for them. Stay mindful of his precious promises so that your attitude can be right with him. Stay grateful for his calling and what he's given to you, and then what he can do through you for other people. A long time ago, I read some books. Abigail Adams used to write her husband quite a bit during the time in which they were handling the writing the Declaration of Independence. And at a low point in his life, he was, how do I stay focused? How do I stay convicted? How do I continue on in this purpose? And Abigail Adams said to her husband, there are only two creatures of worth in life: those who have conviction and those who acquire the conviction of others. If we stay focused with a good attitude from our Creator, we will have the desire to do his will. We will want to have an attitude of service towards him and to others. We won't be ambivalent like Laodiceans. We'll have a heart that focuses on what it is he wants from us, which is to have everlasting life. He chooses that for us. We have to choose it back. So the question that I continue to ask myself on a daily basis is, what's my attitude towards my Creator? Passover's coming up. Am I grateful? Am I hopeful? Am I thankful? Am I appreciative? Am I on my knees on a daily basis? Am I prayerful not just for myself, but for others as well? God's attitude towards humanity has been singular in focus since before he created man, because the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. For the short time we're here, what is our attitude towards him? And will we have the same attitude he has towards us, which is, I love you with everything that I have. And because I have that love for you, I gave my son for you. Will we show that same attitude back of gratefulness, of thankfulness and appreciation, to go and do likewise and to follow his plan for us in our lives to serve others?